talk radio is a medium where you build tension to create resolution. That's how we all want to feel. By the time we get off the show, we breathe a sigh of relief saying that all worked well. We set out a story. We set out talking points. We had conflict. We had calls in support. We had calls in against. We had nasty words shared. We had hand claps for whether it was the person who made the nasty remarks or whether it was someone who had an opposing view. And at the end of the show, and that's what we tend to do with the open line, the final 30 minutes, we try and wrap a bow around these discussions. And it's never nice having a shout about on here. It's really not nice. It's no one actually wants to do that. I don't feel good about it, but sometimes you have to feel I need to stand up for what I believe in. So yesterday I had wasn't a fight really. Tempers were raised with a listener called Fiona in Simonstown. Just going to jog your memory. Here's what happened. Let's go to Fiona in Simonstown. Hi, Fiona.
Hi, Lester.
Hi there.
Hi there.
Listen, what's in your mind?
Yeah, I'm quite annoyed with you. You're coming across as a bit of a racist. Listen to me now. You made a statement. Uh-huh. You said South Africa is a black African country.
It is a majority black African country.
You forgot to put in the majority bit. I accept there's a majority of about 80% black in this country.
Well, 90%.
No, it's 81%. Actually,
I'm black. I'm black as well, Fiona.
No, you're coloured.
Don't tell me what I am. You don't get to tell me what I am.
Black, you are part of the 81%. Then let me speak my piece, please.
Uh-huh.
I am part of the 9.7% white population. Mm-hmm. I am a citizen of this country,
correct.
And I am a South African. And I am not a sort of black African country. I am mm-hmm. part of a mixed race country.
Mm-hmm.
I may be a minority, but I am part of a very important minority in this country. And I think you're coming across as a very, very much as a racist. And I've been listening to Cape Talk for a long time, and I'm seeing the way things are going. I really think you need to apologize.
I'm not going to apologize for that, Fiona. I'm not going to apologize for saying that what I see in my country is in my sport, in my television, is not reflective of my country. What should I apologize for? It's never nice. Fiona in Simonstown, how are you doing this morning?
Good morning, Lester.
Do you still think I should apologize?
No, I've thought about it, and I look. You can identify as black. I understand. A lot of people prefer to identify as black rather than white or coloured. Even though biologically they may not be black, but I don't think you have to apologize.
But yeah, there's no time for mea culpas at the moment. What we decided to do is bring in Andre Flock. He's a conflict negotiator. He works in corporate systems, in conflict resolution, in negotiation. He joins us now on the line from Gqeberha. Andre, how are you doing this morning?
Good morning, Lester and Gianna. Good morning.
I know that you're.
Good morning.
I know that you're often called to come into to pressure corporate situations to deal with diversity issues. I don't think you've ever been called to a consult to a talk radio station before.
I have. Yeah, conflict is conflict. You know, the stages differ, but ultimately, there it is. It's conflict.
Okay. How would you characterize the conversation that Fiona and I had yesterday?
Listen, it depends on if you ask me this to critique yesterday as talk radio, I would say, yeah, well done. That's what talk radio is about mostly. There's conflict, there's controversy. It gets people going. If, however, I sit down with you personally, you, Lester, I would say that, you know, there are one or two things. If the object of the exercise was to convince Fiona, to persuade her to your side, there were a few things that that you could have done better. If I sit down with Fiona, I would say the same. It depends on, and this is the challenge of conflict resolution. You know, some discussions, some conversations, they don't really matter. Mm. If someone disagrees with me on social media, for example, or a stranger in the street, you know, do I really need to? Do I want to convince you? But sometimes we have to, either by virtue of our jobs. You know, people appoint me to come and remove conflict from a workplace. You, as a talk show host, you may feel obliged to persuade people rather than just cause controversy. Mm. So we need to decide upfront, what is it that this conversation, yeah, is it one that I need to salvage? Is it one that I need to persuade someone, or is it one that I could walk away from?
I think we sometimes feel that we need to salvage all conversations and not simply just walk away. But I also feel, Andre, is that there are so many conversations that have been unhad in South Africa. And we can go all the way back to a TRC process. Well, yes, there was a great TRC process with a number of volumes of reports released, but so many unanswered questions, so many unhad arguments, so many uncried tears, which meant South Africa has not had a catharsis, and that 27 years, we still have conversations and outbursts and rising of emotions like this.
You put your finger on a very, very important topic there, Les, and we can run away, we can keep on running away from it, but at some stage we are going to have to face this. I've recently written about exactly that point, the reconciliation, the uncried tears, as you so beautifully put it. It's reconciliation, we're not very good at it. I think we're impatient with it. Can we say in 2021 that America, 60 years on, how's their reconciliation going? In the life of a nation, 27 years is virtually nothing. But conversations like yesterday, on an individual level, and we can talk about why, but we continuously shut each other down. We're not having these conversations. We're scared of conflict, and that is something that as South Africans we really need to change. We run around sticking labels on each other, and in the process, we do ourselves a tremendous disservice. We're not opening the wound. We're not having those difficult conversations.
Fiona, I want to confess something to you. As someone who works in talk radio, and this is going very much against the ethos as a talk radio host, I would never have the guts to call into a talk radio station. I want to ask you why you called in yesterday. What was it that tipped you that you said that I need to challenge Lester on this?
Yes, well, Lester, a good question. I got very angry indeed because you are describing the country I live in and that I'm a citizen of as a black African nation. Mm. You thereby, and I don't want to be interrupted, you thereby inferred that whites in this country are not citizens. You inferred that we're not part of the nation. Mm-hmm. Now, we, as I was saying to you, we are a minority, but we are a very important minority. And as Andre was speaking just now about America, if you were to classify America as a white American nation, you would piss off a hell of a lot of black and non-white Americans. So you just got to turn the tables. You've got to look at it from the other side. And yes, I think the reason that blacks and coloreds hate, and there's so much hatred in this country, and people talk behind closed doors about each other disparagingly, whites are afraid to say their piece in particular. Everything's become so politically correct that these things are not being discussed for fear. And it's about time, as Andre said, that we do talk about it. There should be a formal setting where people can come, because it's very recent. The blacks were, and the colored were, and the non-whites were treated atrociously, and it's very recent. and colonization. I mean, look, it happened. I was born in Ireland. I'm a Protestant Irish, if you like, and I was in the minority there. But the Catholic Irish suffered horribly under the British, under the English. And so did the Scots. I've got Scots blood, too. And Britain in itself was colonized by the Romans a long, long time ago, admittedly. But I can understand why people's pride and egos and feelings are still so... Yeah, so, I mean, if I was a black African woman, I would be angry as well. The thing is, time is not on our side. We haven't got time. The world's facing so many challenges. We haven't got time to keep on hating each other and carrying on and running each other down and running the country down. And the morality in this country has just seemed to have slipped away. And people seem to think they can do whatever they like now because the government is setting such a bloody awful example.
I also have a very interesting role as mediator, timekeeper, as well as being a moderator all at the same time, Fiona. So I apologize if I have to bump in here. But I need Andre to come in and provide a prognosis for this.
Listen, we don't have much time, so I'll keep this as brief as I can. But one thing, and you can monitor this on your show, for example, where we go off the rails, and your example, your discussion, yours and Fiona yesterday, is a wonderful example of it. We don't draw a very necessary distinction between factual arguments, where, let's say, you and I are arguing about the soccer result of last Saturday. There we can deal with each other in a certain way. I can be ruder to you. It's a factual thing. It's an objective thing. We can Google it. We can ask people. There's a right and there's a wrong. But what your conversation yesterday, the distinction that we don't notice and that we need to understand very clearly is that Fiona wasn't acting from a factual basis. It wasn't a factual argument to her in the beginning. It was an identity, a value-driven argument. And as soon as we bring facts, we see it on social media. You know, I say something about ivermectin. You bring your experts. I bring mine. And, you know, 500 tweets later, you know, we're still arguing. In conflict resolution, we find research shows that bringing facts to a value-driven argument like yours yesterday. And both of you started doing that. It's 81%, it's 90%. It makes it worse. Bringing facts, you know, an objective argument to that value-driven argument, debate if you want to, makes it worse. So the two of you were both saying things that the other one wasn't hearing. Mm. You were talking from you especially. I mean, you were clearly, you were making it so clear that this is my country. The way that you identify yourself was called into question. That's not helpful. And on a national basis, on a personal basis, we're very clumsy at how we do those things. Your efforts yesterday, if that lasted 30 seconds, 30 minutes, as you dig deeper, as you bring your facts, you make it worse because the other one is experiencing it as a personal attack. As much as we want to call your discussion an objective thing about, you know, is it a majority black country or not, it's a personal, it's an identity-driven one. And there we need to be very careful in trying to be objectively right. We need other tools. Both of you brought the wrong tools to the job you wanted done yesterday.
I want to bring in Jamie into the conversation. How are you doing, Jamie?
Hi, good morning, Lester, and everyone else.
Your thoughts on this conversation so far?
Yeah, you know, look, I think just to give you some insight why I phoned in yesterday, you know, as a minority, I could identify with what Fiona was saying. Mm-hmm. But for me, what was most disturbing was your professional conduct. And if I was to critique you in that sense, is that, you know, you were talking over her and it was, you know, in inverted commas, toxic and very masculine, you know, not allowing a female, minority female to have her say sort of thing. So, you know, that was to me what triggered my my response to you. And, you know, I think I just made that quite clear that we need to...
Let me ask Fiona that. Fiona, does it matter that I see you as a full human being? Does the fact that you're a woman have anything to do with it? Really?
Yes, absolutely. And really? I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why, Lester.
Uh-huh.
Later on in the conversation, you were speaking to another caller. And you referred to me. I don't know if you were actually aware of it. It was very subtle, but you said, and a Fiona, i.e. you objectified me as a Fiona telling me what I am.
You may not have been aware of it, Lester.
If I may qualify that, a Fiona,
white woman with this country's history, telling a black man that he is not black. Do you see how layered that is?
Well, you could say that you made the presumption that I'm a female. I could be transsexual for all you know.
So you made the presumption that I'm coloured.
Wait a minute. The fact that I presumed you are coloured was because you sound coloured, to be honest. You sound coloured, your name is coloured, you were talking about your slave ancestry earlier in the show. So I think I had a reason to... Wow.
Okay, Andre, step in here, you're the mediator.
You know, like we said in the beginning, Lester, we must also decide some conversations and some relationships aren't, you know, they're simply not important to salvage. I think Fiona is sad to hear that, you know, she's been given a second bite of the cherry, and there's absolutely no remorse for anything that she's done, and today she's making it worse. She's again attacking you. To hide behind, from a conflict perspective, to say that you attacked her as a woman, I think it's completely out of line and it's factually incorrect. You know, for you to now have to defend yourself after you were attacked, the first words out of her mouth yesterday during that discussion was to call you a racist. You know, and that's completely out of line. If there's any apologies to be extended, it should come from Fiona.
I would love to have a cup of tea or whatever beverage with Fiona. I really would, and not some type of Barack Obama beer summit in the Rose Garden with a police officer and Skip Gates, who was arrested in his home I truly see everyone who calls South Africa home as Africans. And Fiona may be born in Ireland, but if Fiona identifies herself as an African, I can totally see her that way. And I would love to share a South Africa, an Africa, and a world with people like Jamie, like Fiona, like with anybody. But sometimes an important and difficult and hard conversation needs to be had. And I don't know how... I often don't know how far to push back, Andre, when I tell someone that is incorrect, that is wrong, as all the facts state you are incorrect. And sometimes, as you say, knowing when to drop a conversation.
On my blog, we set up there's generally 9 steps of breaking down one of these identity debates and arguments, you know, where you break it down into steps like that, where it's way more effective than, you know, just isn't in the way that we would argue with a factual debate. But the two of you, you know, and this is what is so good to hear about yesterday and today, you both bring so much energy to this thing, so much passion to this thing. You both so passionately believe in what you're doing. And conflict is an energy. Where we go wrong is we misdirect that energy, as we're doing at the moment. The two of you, if you find a way to use that energy constructively, you'd probably end up as good mates. And that is where the two of you and our country, that's the reconciliation we need. As you referred to earlier, you know, the 27 years, in a sense, we haven't made any progress. But in another sense, it's also the blink of an eye in the life of a nation. So we've got so much work to do on that. And I sometimes get the sense that we're not getting better. As, you know, with COVID and with everything our political situation, people feel more threatened. The fact that you identify this as a black nation, for example, you know, some people feel threatened by that. So we need to have, as Fiona says, we need to have this conversation. The window is closing, and we need to go now to
Are you willing to have a cup of tea with me? We
could. Absolutely. Lester's fine. Listen, Lester, I'm sorry if I have offended you in the way you identify yourself. I tend to have a bit of a hot temper, but let me rephrase. It wasn't so much as a woman that I felt objectified. I mean, just it was more as a person, and my feelings may be I may have just misrepresented, but that's what I heard.
I see you as someone who's decided to call South Africa home.
Yes.
And I see you as a South African.
Thank you.
I see you as a South African that demands all the rights and should also have all the responsibilities. But we're running out of time. Eyewitness News is coming up. I want to say thank you so much to Andre Flock. Great conversation. Fiona, we'll set up a coffee date. Open lineup next. Andre, thanks so much. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.